Hemp can lay a claim to the title of world's most misunderstood weed. This in spite of its 10,000-year history, in which it has been used for everything from beer, clothing and rope, to biofuel and animal feed. Steve Rose is president of the Maui Hemp Institute for Research and Innovation, whose nine-day Hemp Fest begins this weekend. It's part of a nationwide Hemp History Week, and Steve's on the phone with us now. Good morning, Steve.
Aloha, Chris.
What are the things that, what are the most misunderstood aspects of hemp?
Well, one that it's something bad. I mean, hemp has been with human civilization traced back thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. It's only been banned out of our lifestyles for about the past 80 years. So there's a lot of misinformation out there caused by the banning and a lot of just non-knowing about the benefits of hemp. And when we realize there are thousands and thousands of benefits of hemp, we get all excited about it, and we see a very bright future in front of us.
Well, it's pretty easy to grow, right? It grows quickly and in a variety of soils. Is that right?
Well, basically, it's kind of the plant that's called a weed. So you stick it in the ground, you water it, and it grows.
Yeah.
What comes up, you know, can be made better by, you know, cultivating it and, you know, picking the right seeds in the right climates. But basically, there's what they call ditch weed all over the United States where hemp once grew. Some of it dates back hundreds of years, and it never gets eradicated pretty much.
That ditch weed, wasn't that in part being used to make rope during wartime? I heard that somewhere.
Well, it was basically, the ban was lifted during World War II. And we actually grew hemp here in Hawaii. The Oahu farmers were the first that were pressed into service after the Philippines were taken over by the Japanese. America lost its only source of hemp, and all our ships used hemp for their anchor ropes, and even the parachutes had hemp rope lining. President Bush probably wouldn't have made it if his hemp parachute didn't save his life.
Well, that versatility is recognized during wartime, but why was it, but the ban went back into effect after the Second World War ended?
Yeah, they just basically went back to where it was. There's a wonderful movie on YouTube called Hemp for Victory that was found in the archives, and it's a wonderful 10-minute thing on the revitalization of hemp to support the war effort. You can be found on our YouTube Maui Hemp channel also.
Because you can make so many...
Basically, they just turned right around and went back to the ban after the war.
But there was at least momentary recognition of all the things you can do with it. And you see that recognition returning now, don't you?
Well, during the war, it was basically primary. They just needed rope. But now, you know, especially with the Internet being able to spread information... the many, many uses of hemp are coming out there with its legalization in many states on the mainland. It's actually being grown and products are starting to be developed. And the most recent thing right now is battery technology. We're discovering that the microfibers in hemp are some of the best conductors for batteries that will be biodegradable. We have cars being made of hemp now, and there's even a Kickstarter to make an airplane out of hemp. Not that this hasn't been done before. Henry Ford built a hemp car back in the day and was about to produce it before the anti-hemp forces basically put him out of business with that idea.
You know, I know that it's great for flexible things like rope, but you can make a solid, something as solid as an automobile out of hemp?
Well, hemp is, the resins are made into plastic, and that's one of our futures here in Hawaii. We can't wait to see surfboards with hemp resin on them and canoes with hemp resin. It's as hard as any plastic. One of the other uses of hemp with the leftover fiber after harvest is for something called hempcrete, which is like concrete, three times stronger. It breathes. It's mold resistant. We have a couple of houses here now being built of hempcrete here on Maui as kind of showcases. But we actually can begin to grow our houses here once our hemp industry gets up and running again.
If you wanted to start, assuming legal barriers were out of the way, what would you need to get a hemp crop started in Hawaii?
Well, right now, we just had our growing bill passed by the legislature. We're waiting for the governor to sign it and a permitting process, which will be enacted. Once that happens, we'll basically start growing hemp. We have to find seed sources. There's not a lot of seed, and there's 30 states now growing on the mainland. But that's one of the futures that we see here on Maui, and one of the reasons for the Institute is basically to determine, you know, what seeds grow best in what climates. We have 20-some-odd microclimates here on Maui where we can begin to do that research, and that's one of the first priorities of the Institute, is to not only identify what seeds grow in what temperatures, but to work with private companies to begin that grow-out operation to produce a large amount of seed. We can grow three crops of hemp here on Maui and Hawaii. We're on the mainland in Colorado. They get one crop. So it gives us a vast research body field to begin to work with. And that's one of the exciting things about hemp and coming to Hawaii again.
Sounds as if there's a great deal still to be learned. It's not quite as simple as throwing a weed onto the ground and watching it grow, yeah?
Well, basically that'll happen. What you get, you know, you can grow it 8 to 10 feet tall and get more fiber, or you can grow it 3 feet tall and get a lot of seed. What most people don't realize is that most of the value in the hemp crop is actually in the seed, which is loaded with omega-3 oil and high proteins. That oil can also be made into biofuels, and that's what eventually winds up in the resins. So, yes, there's a lot to learn. That's one of the basics reasons we formed the Research Institute, because we see there's going to be a need for a lot of research as literally a multi-billion dollar industry begins to emerge in the United States, and probably $100 million industry here in the state of Hawaii over the next 10 years.
Well, getting back to what I was saying about getting an operation started, for example, how much land would you need?
Well, again, it depends the model that you're doing it. You know, if you're growing it for large quantities of hemp for biofuel and fiber, that would be a larger operation, and you'd have to do the research on the yields. The focus of the Institute right now is how do we make it work for, you know, us local folk and our farmers, and we have some models set up for sustainable agriculture where hemp is the first crop that goes in that actually remediates the soil, pulls out the heavy metals, and then begins the enriching of the soil with some other processes to begin to grow food. One of our first research projects that we started this year with Simply Fresh Farms in Lahaina is what we called our hemp-infused food forest, where as soon as we grow hemp, we're going to put up a protective barrier of hemp around an area that's already been turned into soil through Korean natural farming methods and is growing all the canoe plants and many, many food plants. And this is a model that can be done on an acre or less even, and actually feed a family and then some once it's up and running.
Well, it certainly sounds as if there's a great deal of there's a world of possibility here, Steve. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Surely. Thank you very much.
Steve Rose is a self-described hempster from over 45 years. He's president of the Maui Hemp Institute for Research and Innovation, whose 9-day Hemp Fest begins this Friday at the Maui Brewing Company in Kihei. And you can find out more on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.